Thanks so much for tuning in to the Happiness Happens podcast. If you're loving what you're hearing, be sure to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, I would be so grateful if you could rate and review the show. It takes 2 seconds and it tells me what you're loving and what you're wanting more of. I'm your host, Simona Costantini, and I'm obsessed with understanding what it means to be happy. In 2018, I went through a massive journey and awakening, and I found myself having to relearn who I was and what I really wanted to do with my time on this planet. The truth is, I spent a lot of time looking happy on the outside, but not really feeling the same way on the inside. So I knew there must be other people who felt the exact same way as me, and I've learned along the way that there really are. And now I get to interview them and other thought leaders in the space on my podcast every single week. I'm a recovering people pleaser turned life coach and podcast producer. On this show, we get into what it means to be happy, the purpose and intention behind happiness, how to live a happier life, and we hear about all the hard moments that have shaped people to become resilient and living out their passion every single day. Think of this as your one-stop shop to help you live a more purposeful, inspired life. This is the Happiness Happens podcast. Are you ready to dive into this inspiring conversation? Let's go. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode on the podcast. I'm very excited for this conversation today. Again, I feel like I say this every single time I am on here with you, but I'm really excited because today we're chatting with Carly Stansell, and she is a licensed clinical social worker, certified life and success coach, and NLP practitioner. I loved our conversation so much because there were so many different topics that we dove into, and she has really dedicated her life to change work, and it's absolutely her passion. Nothing makes her happier than helping beautiful women recognize their true worth. However, as a therapist, she often questioned why it took so long for her clients to reach their outcomes or overcome their challenges. They would get stuck in their stories and allow it to fully consume them at an identity level, hindering them from progression. Through her coaching, she helps ambitious, purpose-driven women dive into their subconscious minds and break through those limiting beliefs easily and effortlessly. They learn to fall in love with themselves again and manifest a reality that they are excited about waking up to every single morning. She takes a holistic approach to healing, utilizing EFT, hypnosis, NLP, and time techniques. Again, we covered so many different topics in this episode. I cannot wait for you to hear them. You're going to love her. She has so much knowledge to share. And with that, let's dive into this week's episode. Hello, Carly. Welcome to the Happiness Happens podcast. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm just as excited.
I know. It's going to be such a fun conversation. We were saying just before this, there's so much to talk about. And I would love, love, love if you could start us off just by telling everyone a little bit about your journey that's brought you to where you are today.
It's been quite the journey. So originally, I actually wanted to be a teacher and work with kids. And then I thought to myself, well, I really want to do more than just teach them their ABCs or teach. I want to make a big impact on their lives. So then I went and got my master's and became a social worker, and I did play therapy for quite some time. And I was really, most of my work was with kids. And then I moved on and became interested in the brain, and I went into the neuroscience field, and I was actually doing brain scans, QEEGs, and neurofeedback, which is brain training. And as a therapist, it's such a plus to be able to see the brain and understand on a deeper level the behaviors and the emotions that we're experiencing, and really the profound impact that the neurofeedback can have on our behaviors once we can train our brain back to the optimal range. And just the fact that we can do that in general, and the neuroplasticity and how amazing our brains are, is so fascinating. So I was doing that for quite some time. And then I actually moved into more of holistic coaching, moving away from traditional therapy and getting into integrative coaching and energy healing and neuro-linguistic programming and hypnosis and all these like really cool, fun things. That's just a step away from your traditional talk therapy. And now I really am at a place where I'm combining all of these things together into my work and in my container with clients. So that's a little bit about my journey. Kind of hopped around from multiple different things. And now I'm just at a place where, like I said, putting it all together, and it's super magical.
That's really, really cool. That sounds like a lot of different things all sort of put into one.
Definitely.
Oh, I love it. And, you know, it's really interesting to hear about the brain-based part of your work, because a lot of people will talk about NLP and the different modalities that you can integrate into coaching, into healing, and all that kind of stuff. But I'd love to know, just from your perspective, what is so helpful or is so interesting in being able to see the brain and seeing the patterns and the connections that are made by when you were studying the brain more so than now?
For me, it's just connecting the dots. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like a lot of people for so long, like it was almost like a relief when they would get a diagnosis, because they would be like, oh, like this is the way I am because of this. Like it fits in a box. It makes sense. I actually hate that. I don't believe that anybody can fit in a box. Like we are not the same by any means. We cannot put anybody in a box. So seeing the brain is a way for people to relate and kind of connect the dots without putting them in a one fits all container. You could look at their different brainwaves and you could say, oh, you have an excess of high beta. That's our fight or flight. And so that may be why you're always feeling hypervigilant or on edge, or your mind is like a hamster on a wheel and it's like, go, go, go. And they can see concretely on paper that that's why. It's because their brain is just, there's nothing wrong with them at all. It's just functioning on a different level. And guess what? We can train it back to the optimal range. No big deal. Without saying there's something wrong with you, here's your diagnosis, you fit into this one fits all box. So I think for people, it's just a relief to kind of connect the dots and see on paper what was really going on in their everyday life.
That's really cool. I think it's really interesting that you can learn all of that just by looking at some scans and seeing, you know, what is connected and how it's connected. I find that so interesting because, you know, a lot of the times all the things we experience are based out of emotions, right? Like we feel a certain way about something and we don't always think about what is the pattern or the connection. You know, people will talk a lot about like belief, your belief system, what you believe to be true. But it's kind of like at the root of that, there's the actual connections in your mind, the real places where those connections are formed. So I find that really, really interesting.
Amen. You could say that 10 times over. Like that is, it's so true. All of our emotions are based in chemistry and it's all neurology. It's all based in our brain first, you know?
That's very, very cool.
And that's where the NLP is so cool because, I mean, when we think about NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, neuro is our minds, our brain, language is our, linguistic is our language, you know, both our internal and our external dialogue, how we talk to ourselves and the language that we're saying on a day-to-day basis. And then programming is really just all of our behaviors, our habits, our patterns, and our emotions. NLP is like a roadmap to understanding your mind. And when you can dive into NLP and use some of those techniques, you can actually reprogram the mind in a very similar way that you would when you were doing neurofeedback and training the brain. You can program it just through holistic healing. And you can do a before and after of your brain scan and the effects are just as good, if not better. So that's what I was talking about at the beginning, how magical it is. It's truly mind-blowing, the work that you can do as you start to reprogram all of our beliefs that you were talking about and emotions that are based on a subconscious neurological level.
Very interesting. So then NLP is more of a holistic approach then? I don't really know much about it. I signed up for a course to take some NLP classes, really? And I never took them. I don't know. I just haven't really, I haven't dove into it yet.
The thing about NLP is it can be used for so many things. Our presidents are trained in NLP, everybody in the Pentagon, and they use NLP for a lot of marketing. you know, because it's all based on your language. But from a clinical standpoint, and for me, I use it in a very holistic way to reprogram the subconscious mind to manifest and get the results and do the healing work that you can't really get from traditional talk therapy. I feel, and as a licensed therapist, you know, traditional talk therapy is kind of like pulling out the top of a weed, you know?
Mm.
Like, okay, you have people coming over and like you need to pull the weeds and it's going to look good. But if you don't get down to the root, then they're just going to grow back. And so traditional talk therapy is good, but it only gets you so far. And I feel like NLP is kind of the cherry on top in order to really get in there and get to the root cause.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
The analogies, because they really resonate with people.
Oh, analogies are everything. I love, love, love a good analogy, especially to explain concepts that can be more tricky for people to grasp. My brain is not, like, I'm just not scientifically based. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I love and appreciate that perspective, but it's so hard for me to wrap my head around the specifics when it comes to this, like, scientific background. That's just, maybe my mind is more creative. I don't know.
Yeah, you have to bring it down.
Exactly.
The 3D world and have everybody really relate to it. So
exactly. So how does using NLP as, you know, an overarching framework, how does that help someone through any trauma or blocks that they're experiencing? Like, are there specific, I'm guessing there are, techniques that you use with your clients? Are they always the same? Do they change? Do they differ?
Yeah, absolutely. There is, I have a couple of my favorite techniques that I like to use with clients. The timing that I use them with clients is different because everybody's going through different shifts at different times. But for example, there's one called Fast Phobia Cure or Visual Kinesthetic. Kinesthetic is our feeling disassociation. So maybe somebody had some trauma, they have PTSD or they have a specific phobia. Really how that manifests in daily life is being constantly re-triggered, right? Somebody's hearing a loud noise and they're jumping, or they're having the flashbacks or the nightmares, they're having a panic attack, they're having a physical response to the trauma that is, you know, maybe long gone. And it's like, well, why am I still experiencing this, right? Well, it's stuck in their amygdala. That's the fight or flight part of our brain. It's the red alert button, I guess you could say. And so when it's stuck there and it's not properly passed through to the neocortex and the hippocampus, which is where it's supposed to be, it's just kind of sitting there waiting to be re-triggered. And so maybe you can think of a story of maybe it's something not so great that happened to you, but you can tell somebody the story and not be physically re-triggered or have a traumatic response. And that's because it was properly passed through out of the amygdala. And so this technique in NLP, this VK disassociation or fast phobia cure, actually does that. It takes the memory out of the amygdala where it's stuck and processes it through to where it's supposed to be. Because when it's in the amygdala, we can't make any sense of it.
Mm.
And that's why it's just sitting there waiting to be re-triggered. We don't have any story or narrative. And so when it's properly passed through this technique, you can start to live out your everyday life and not have that red alert button readily available and for you to be re-triggered. It can literally be done in one session. Like, this technique can be done in like 10 minutes. And this is what I'm talking about. You know, like, you can spend years in therapy trying to come to some type of conclusion or closure, or you're telling the story over and over again, maybe even to multiple different therapists because somebody wasn't the right fit for you. And it's just even re-traumatizing in itself to have to rehash that story and kind of relive those memories. And in this technique, you can almost instantly get that healing. So that's one of my favorites. It's super powerful. Another one of my favorites is timeline technique, or timeline therapy, some people call it. This goes with what we were talking about earlier, how our emotions and our beliefs are based in science and chemistry neurologically. And the timeline therapy actually allows us to disconnect the emotion from the event. So we actually start taking in subconscious downloads 9 weeks in the womb. Isn't that crazy? I first found that out, I was like, what? No way. So we carry those with us for the rest of our lives. And it's almost like we have on a pair of glasses where our mind is looking for data to back up those beliefs. Like maybe we experienced fear when we were three and the fear actually protected us at that time. You know, maybe we went and ran and hid or something. And so then your mind thinks, oh, this fear keeps you safe, you know, and your mind is constantly looking for data to back up that belief that fear is keeping you safe. And so we can actually go back in the subconscious mind, because your subconscious, it's number one and two job. Number one is to protect you. Mm-hmm. And number two is to remember every single experience you've ever had, starting in the womb. Like I actually take people back and they have memories from something that happened in the womb. You can't consciously remember that. And then they'll actually talk to their mom and be like, did something happen to me? Like, you know, 6 months in the womb with me, this crazy story. It's mind blowing. But going back to the point of the technique, obviously I think these are just so fun. They really can be mind blowing. But you're separating the emotion from the event so that you're no longer looking for that data. And in the future and in the present moment, you can make decisions not from a place of being emotionally reactive. Mm. We gather a learning instead, a learning that's going to serve you in the future and protect you to help you make good choices. And so when something happens, you subconsciously automatically think of that learning instead of that emotional response. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It's really interesting. I find the part about, you know, absorbing beliefs like nine weeks into the womb, that is just insane to me. And it makes a lot of sense when they say, like, you know, when you heal yourself, you heal backwards and you heal forwards, because you actually are healing what you've experienced in the past that you didn't even realize you were carrying with you. And then what you're potentially bringing forward to a future generation should you decide to have children.
Absolutely. And so this work actually changes your DNA, speaking of children. So when you're, you know, going through massive quantum leaps and shifts like this, you're changing your DNA. It's proven. And changing, you know, the DNA for your future children. And even when your children are already born and you're still going through these shifts, because we're so connected, mm-hmm. And this is all based in heart math, you can still change their DNA. So it just goes to show like how important personal development truly is, and not just for yourself, you know, for the generations to follow.
Yeah. That is so, so, so crazy. I think that this is just so interesting. And so when you're using these different techniques, are you using them through like the lens of like hypnotherapy or through like a different modality? Like, what does it feel like to, are you like receiving NLP? Do you know what I mean? Or is it like,
yeah,
that it's different than talk therapy? So how do you do it? Like, how do you perform it, if you will?
That's a good question. So it's a little different than hypnosis. And hypnosis, you're putting somebody in into like a full trance. And I always say hypnosis is just, it's like a meditation with a goal, you know? In these techniques, it's almost as if we're just putting you into a slight hypnotic. You're not even going into a trance. We're just using a little bit different language, walking you through step by step what to imagine in your mind. And you're just closing your eyes throughout the whole thing, being nice and relaxed, but not in a state of trance. and just going with the flow. I always say the most important thing is to trust your subconscious mind. You're going to think that you're making things up. And most people do, but then, you know, they start to put all the puzzle pieces together, or they'll feel the massive shift within their body. And it doesn't have to make sense to them, because all that matters is that they're no longer experiencing those symptoms on a day-to-day basis, and that they start to react differently. So
cool.
Yeah. It's just actually a nice, relaxing kind of imagination technique that I take you through when I'm doing any of these things.
That is so cool. I really, really like that. Thanks for elaborating on that, because I've spoken once on here before about NLP, and I still had so many questions afterwards, because I was like, I don't understand. Like, you know, how do you do this? Like, everyone talks about NLP, but no one ever really says exactly what it is, right? So unless you kind of are in the know, or you know about it, you don't really know how it can help you heal. And I think it's so important that you're sharing how it can help mm-hmm. you heal, because you're sharing with people the tangible ways that they can take this technique and actually implement it in their lives. And it's not just something that sounds super scientific and a little bit not approachable. You know what I mean? You're kind of like, what is that? And you're like, oh, I get it now. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that is very attainable, something that I can implement into my life. So I think that's really cool.
Absolutely. And it doesn't have to be scary. I think the most important thing for people to know is that it's not re-traumatizing. Even, you know, that VK disassociation or the timeline technique I'm talking about, you get similar results from something called EMDR in traditional kind of therapy, which is just eye movement reprocessing, basically.
Yeah.
And that sometimes can be re-traumatizing for people, because you're actually taking them back into the trauma, and they're reliving it in order to reprocess it. And from these techniques, I describe it to people as you're almost looking at the trauma from a third person perspective. Mm. You're so far removed emotionally that you're not experiencing the re-traumatizing feelings.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That's really cool. That's really cool. And then in terms of, you know, because I know you're a licensed therapist and you're also a coach. So how do you like balance the two? What do you find is the biggest difference between the two? And then do you prefer one over the other?
Wow, that's a loaded question.
I know.
Because I've just incorporated everything together into one, I can't say that one is not more important than the other. It's almost like I think they're just as important, but only when they are fused together. Mm. So one is not the end all be all. And nothing really is. You know, I always say it's a combination of multiple different things that's going to create the recipe for success. And I always say that my three most effective steps into healing is first, becoming the master of your conscious mind, which is a lot of that traditional talk therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy. Your thoughts impact your feelings, and your feelings impact your behaviors. So learning how to become a master of recognizing what those irrational thoughts are, where they come from, and being able to shift them, challenge them, change them, so that you can change your feelings, which ultimately are going to change your behaviors. Learning helpful coping, you know, mechanisms. I teach emotional freedom technique, tapping, or breathing techniques, you know, your more traditional kind of skills that you would get when you go to a therapist and say, I'm struggling with X, Y, and Z, you know, go off and try this tool. That's all infused in becoming a master of your conscious mind. But our conscious mind is only 1% of our mind. And our subconscious mind is 99%.
Wow.
So then comes the second step, which is reprogramming that subconscious mind, which is done through the neurolinguistic programming, the hypnosis. And then comes the third step, which is raising your vibration. So this is where energy healing comes in, and understanding energy and how everything works through resonance. So we really are just we're a vibrational match for what it is that we want when we get the thing. So everything we want is because we think we're going to feel better in the having of it. So it's not really the things are nice that we get them too, but it's really the feeling that the goal represents that we're chasing after. And so if we can learn to raise our emotional home, our consciousness, our vibration, we can then become an energetic match for that thing that we're wanting to attract.
Mm.
A lot of people think it's like, oh, why are all these things happening to me? Right?
Exactly.
Well, things don't happen to you. You have a feeling and then you're a vibrational match for the thing that is coming into your awareness.
Mm.
So if you can first raise your vibration, then you'll be an energetic match for those things that you want to manifest.
Very, very cool.
And I know I just went off on a rant there.
No.
I don't even remember what the question was.
Well, we were talking about the difference between therapy and coaching. And then you were saying how, you know, they're so interconnected and they so are, especially when they're both things that you do. It would be different if someone wasn't a licensed therapist, you know, and we were having this conversation, but you're blending in your practice, everything all together, which is so important. And I think that you put the point that you make about raising your vibration. People talk about what raising your vibration, but we don't always understand the why behind why it's so important to raise the vibration, why, what it even means or how you even do that. So if someone's listening, you know, and is wondering about how to raise their vibration, what are some tips that you would give, you know, our listeners just so that they can implement right away and start to become that energetic match for what they really want?
There's so many ways that you can, you know, I mean, even just going back to mastering your conscious mind and being able to be aware of your thoughts and how they can change your feelings and being in control of your feelings, that's going to raise your vibration. Meditation, that's going to raise your vibration. The people you surround yourself with, that's going to raise your vibration. Energy healing, meditation, exercising, the language that we speak on a day-to-day basis, how we speak about other people, how we speak to ourselves. There's so many different things that you can do. And it's not just one thing and then this is going to raise your vibration. You have to start to incorporate all these different things into a lifestyle to raise your vibration. It's not just like a little to do, you know,
yeah,
of the day. I got to do this to raise my vibration. And it's a lifestyle.
It's so true. It really is. It's all the things that you do. Because if you, I'll just take like myself, for example, like if I do a meditation and then go off the rest of the day and just like, you know, let myself sit into like a place that may not be as high vibe, if you will, then it's kind of like, I'm always so happy that I did that meditation to begin with. Cause I'm like, oh God, what state would I be in right now if I didn't do that particular thing? You know what I mean? And so it kind of encourages you to want to go and do more and go outside for a walk and, you know, be in the sunshine or listen to music or stuff like that. So I think that's really cool.
Yeah. I think energy healing and Reiki in particular is my favorite way just because it clears all those chakras. And I think it should be viewed as a maintenance thing that we should do because you're right. Like you can do a meditation or you can have a Reiki session and then you get a bad phone call and your vibe is shot. So it just needs to be a routine thing. And I describe it to people kind of as like washing our clothes, you know, like that's what our washing machines are supposed to do. And if you never clean out the vent in the dryer, like a fire is going to start or, you know, your clothes aren't going to dry properly. And so same thing with our chakras and our energy, like our chakras are just energy vortexes. They're there to spin our energy. But if we don't clean them out and do that maintenance clearing, then fires are going to start, mm-hmm. you know, symptoms are going to arise. So that's what I mean by it's a lifestyle. It's a constant thing that needs to be incorporated. It's not just a check the box. I did that for the day.
So true. So good. I love that. And then how do you take all of these different modalities and different things that you teach and that you've learned and have in, as part of your practice? Like, how do you incorporate that into an experience for your clients?
I incorporate it all into monthly retainers. So each month, you know, clients are getting trainings on just how to do the emotional freedom technique tapping, you know, life in a nutshell and what really is energy, or, you know, creating or decreating emotions, different things that people really want to know about, you know, and how they can incorporate that into their daily life. Then we're doing sessions. So incorporated in those sessions, I walk them through the phases of becoming a master of your conscious mind, jumping in, getting out that broom, sweeping out the subconscious limiting beliefs through the NLP, doing the hypnosis. I would say hypnosis is like a cherry on top, you know, because once we can sweep out the blocks, then we can start to infuse our mind with beliefs that we really want, you know. People can snap out of hypnosis anytime they want, but they don't want to because we're feeding the subconscious mind suggestions that align with their goals. And they're just soaking it up with the sponge, just as they did for those negative limiting beliefs. But we've already sweeped those out. And so now we can start to implement the beliefs that we really want that are going to serve us. So sometimes I do live hypnosis sessions, or I'll create recordings for my clients and they can listen to them on a daily basis. I incorporate the Reiki sessions. I usually do two Reiki sessions a month with them. And those are just done remotely. I'll record guided meditations and send them to them, and they'll be listening to the guided meditation during the Reiki session. And I actually love doing them remotely because, one, it's just as effective. Energy never dies. And I think it can be more effective for some clients because they're in the comfort of their own home and they're nice and relaxed. So it really makes a big difference. So walking them through those three phases, kind of incorporating it all into one package. And clients are usually done with me in around 3 to 6 months, depending on what kind of level of baggage, I guess, they're coming in with to start off. And once we can do all that mindset work, then we can, they're a clean vehicle for the things that their desires and what they really want to do in life. It all drops in and we kind of start to go into business coaching after that. So the mindset work is just a small piece, but a so very crucial. Important first step.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I completely agree with you. I mean, you can have all the strategies, all the techniques, everything in the entire world, but if you don't have the right mindset to approach it with, it becomes very challenging to, you know, continuously know and understand and truly feel and believe that you're worthy of having the specific thing that you want or that you're creating, right? Super, super important. Oh my important.
Gosh, so true. Yeah. And this is honestly why I say, you'll never hear another therapist say this, but like affirmations are bullshit. Unless you believe them at your core. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you cannot look in the mirror and just say, I am beautiful. I am successful. I am lovable. Your subconscious mind is going to be like, knock, knock. No, you're not.
You don't believe it.
You're worthy of success. You don't deserve love. What are you talking about? And so you have to sweep that out first. And then you can look in the mirror and be like, you know, I'm worthy of love. And it's like, oh, hell yes, you are. You know, and you start to fuse. That's what I say. I make your subconscious mind and your conscious mind best friends.
I love that.
It's no longer, people have these like, well, part of me this and part of me that. And like, part of me, you know, really wants to go to the gym and wake up and work out and eat healthy and yada, yada. But then part of me just hits the snooze and eats a box of Cheez-Its. So really that what it comes down to is you're not worthy of that. Your subconscious mind is saying that. And so when we can fuse them together and get them on board, you become your whole integrated true self. Mm. And that's when the desires start to drop in.
That's beautiful. I love that so much. That's so good. My last question for you, and it's a question that I ask all of my guests when they come on the show, and it's how can someone create a little more happiness in their day, every day, starting today?
Okay. I like it. I would say, going back to that quote I was talking about, everything we want is because we think we're going to feel better in the having of it. And so really get clear on what is it that you want right now? Think about that question and think about how are you going to feel when you have it? And when you have that feeling, start to bring it down from the cloud. It's not a one-day thought. It's not a one-day feeling. Go ahead and bring it down into your physical body and start to feel it within. What does that feeling feel like? Really embody it. Whether you have to do a dance to do this or do a meditation or like go in a rambling chat of what that feeling would feel like or how you would tell somebody the story of once you got the thing and how it made you feel, and just start to embody that feeling and live out that feeling, because that in itself is going to raise that vibration. And when you do so, you will become an energetic match and you will welcome in that thing that you're wanting to manifest. So just embody that feeling.
I love that. Oh, that's such a good tip. I love that so much. And it's so true because it's so practical and very easy to like understand and implement. It's such a simple question, but it's such a powerful question. When I hear that question sometimes, I'm like, I don't really know what I want. I haven't really thought about what I want. So really, really sitting down with it and thinking about what is it that you actually want and getting really clear on that. That's so game changer. I love it.
Yeah. It's just something little, but it makes all the difference.
Exactly. Exactly. Carly, where can our listeners find you so they can learn more about you?
The best way is to first find me on Instagram. You can find me on mindset_navigation. And through that, you can connect with me. You can view my website, all of that good stuff. So Amazing. It's mindset_navigation.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Carly, for coming on the podcast and for sharing all of this amazing wisdom and insight with all of us today.
I know, it was so much fun.
It was so much fun. It was
so
much fun.
We could keep talking for hours.
I seriously could. And I honestly, like, I've thought about it before. I'm like, what happens if this turns into like a 2-hour podcast? Like, I'm feeling like people will just stop tuning in after a while. You know what I mean? It's a lot, but I could continue talking all day. So yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thanks so much everyone for tuning in to the podcast. I hope you love this episode. Be sure to connect with both of us. Let us know you're listening. Let us know what you loved. I'm wishing you an absolutely amazing week. And remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it. Well, it looks like we've made it to the end of this episode. I'm so grateful for you tuning into this week's episode, and I cannot wait to see you over on the next one. If you loved this conversation and this topic as much as I did, please feel free to leave us a rating or a review wherever you're listening. It takes just a second, and it is so important for us so that we can make sure to deliver this content to those who need it. I'm wishing you the most beautiful day wherever you are in the world, and remember that happiness happens when you're least expecting it.